We interrupt your regularly scheduled podcast to bring you Listen, Watch, Discuss. Enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome back to Listen, Watch, Discuss. As always, I'm your host, Brent Aiken, and on tonight's episode, I will be reviewing the latest live-action Star Wars series, The Book of Boba Fett. So, The Book of Boba Fett is created by Jon Favreau, and as like with The Mandalorian, it's streaming on Disney Plus, and it basically, you know, as the title suggests, is basically following Boba Fett and Fennec Shand, who was introduced in The Mandalorian, and it takes place, the beginning, the first episode, takes place like right after. Also, there will be spoilers in this episode. So if you haven't seen all of season one of The Book of Boba Fett, or I guess the whole series, I'm not really sure. I don't know if they're going to green light it for a second season. So I'm just, you know, I don't know if I should say season one or the series, you know, because it's like, well, it could be over. But regardless, if you haven't seen The Book of Boba Fett yet, go watch that first. And then come back and listen to the episode. So the episode, the beginning of the show, literally takes place right after the events at Jabba's palace. You know, where Jabba and Boba Fett, and then we're trying to throw Luke and the crew, you know, and the gang into the Sarlacc pit. And you know, Boba supposedly got killed. You know, he got thrown in there along with some of Jabba's other henchmen and bounty hunters. And you know, everyone thought, oh, he's dead, you know, but then everyone was like, oh my God, he's back when they introduced him in The Mandalorian or reintroduced him. And everyone was hyped to shit for that because Boba Fett was one of the, coolest characters in the original trilogy. And that's despite the fact that he only had like 5 lines in the original trilogy. And it's funny to think that he's like the fact that he only had 5 lines, in the original trilogy, and yet he's so beloved, and he's so memorable, and he's so beloved. He's just such a fan favorite character from everyone, and that's just amazing considering the limited amount of time he was in the trilogy, and the again even more limited amount of lines he had. But yeah, when he was reintroduced in The Mandalorian in season 2. Back in 2020 when season 2 aired, everyone was excited, and everyone was wondering, oh, is he going to get his own show? And then, you know, lo and behold, Disney announced, Star Wars and Disney announced that, yes, they were greenlighting, that Boba Fett was going to have his own show, among a bunch of other characters from the Star Wars film series, you know, so, list of films, you know. and this was just the, one of many to come. And there's going to be a few more this year as well. But yeah, so the show is pretty much just, part of it takes place like right after Return of the Jedi. Like we see, Boba escape from the Sarlacc, that's in the pit. And that was a really cool, fun scene to watch. Just to see him struggle to get out and the way he eventually did get out. And it was cool to see, cause like he was running low on oxygen and he just stole like this dead stormtrooper's, oxygen tank. And he just used that to, you know, to breathe, to get enough oxygen so he could climb up out of the Sarlacc. That was a really cool scene. And yeah, it's just, I don't know. I really liked the, all the flashbacks they did in the show with, just showing, because most of the episodes start off with Boba in a Bacta tank, and then we flash back, like we see him sitting in the Bacta tank, you know, completely submerged in water with an oxygen tube in his mouth, and then we just cut to a flashback of something that happened a few years prior, like a flashback of sometime after he got out of the Sarlacc pit. And a lot of people were saying that the flashback scenes were taking way too long, and And it's like, oh, okay, well, now that we're caught up, because, like, by episode 2 or 3, I believe, like, we were caught up. But they still showed more flashback sequences. I didn't really mind it as much. I feel like there was still enough time set in the present day of the story, of what was going on in the story, you know, to where it wasn't, like, there was enough time set in the present day of what was going on in the story to where I didn't really feel like it was a problem, you know. Like, I didn't feel like the flashbacks took up too much of the story, and it was. But and I personally really liked the flashbacks because it, you know, kind of fleshed out Boba's character more. Because when we see him in The Mandalorian, when we're reintroduced to him in The Mandalorian, he, you know, like, because The Mandalorian takes place exactly like 5 years after Return of the Jedi. So you're wondering, you know, when he runs into Mando and, you know, Fennec Shand, when him and Fennec Shand run into Mando, you're thinking, oh, okay, so I wonder what Boba's been up to, because, you know, has he just been stuck on Tatooine, just roaming the the dune sands, or the sand dunes for, you know, the last 5 years? Has he, you know, run into anyone? Has he befriended anyone? You know, what's he gotten himself into, you know? And, you know, and the flashbacks really do kind of flesh out, you know, like, what he's been up to, and, you know, people he's met since, you know, getting out of the Sarlacc pit. We get to see the first time he met, or we get to see him meeting Fennec Shand for the first time and befriending her. She ends up getting launched out of a ship and crash lands onto Tatooine, and she has these severe injuries, and so Boba takes her to a doctor/mechanic somewhere in Mos Eisley, and or was it Mos Espa? Yeah, it was Mos Espa. My bad, not Mos Eisley. But yeah, it was So he takes her to a little mechanic shop somewhat in Mos Espa, and you know, has some, like, she gets some, like, cybernetic enhancements placed in her stomach and part of her arm, and she's fixed up, and it was and that was cool to see. It was kind of cool, and it was cool to see, like, their friendship, partnership / mutual, their mutual, because they have, like, a mutual respect for each other, because they're both, you know, trained assassins, and the fact that Boba saved Fennec's life obviously went a long way for her, because, you know, she's like, well, you know, we're both, you know, kind of cold-blooded killers in a way. You could have just left me for dead. Boba's like, yeah, but I didn't feel like it. So, you know, it was cool to see their friendship and partnership develop over the course of the show. And it was also even cooler to see how it started, because when we see Boba, you know, when he first runs into the Mandalorian in season 2 of The Mandalorian, him and Fennec are already companions. Like, they already know each other. And it's like, oh, okay, we haven't seen you yet. You know, I wonder if we'll see how they met. And we do. So that's cool. And it's also cool, we get to, we find out that Boba lived with a family, or he finds a family in a tribe of Tusken Raiders, the sand people. And that was cool to see. And again, not only his friendship with Fennec Shand, but also, or not only befriending this tribe of Tusken Raiders and living amongst them, and befriending Fennec Shand. I mean, not only both of those things, like, help to demonstrate and, like, show off how much Boba's kind of grown. Like, not really how much he's grown, but it goes to show that he's more than just a cold-blooded killer, you know, because, I mean, he's more than just an assassin. He's or a bounty hunter, you know. He's they flush him out really well, and show that he's more than just what people think he is, and what people know him for. So that was really cool. What else? I'm trying to think of what else. I like the fact that they got, and I feel like I'm butchering his name. I like that they got to shit, to Mira Morrison to play Boba Fett, which, I mean, he played Boba Fett in season two of The Mandalorian, but I don't know if I mentioned it in that review that I did for season two of The Mandalorian, so I'm going to mention it here. But I love that they got the guy, I love that they got him to play Boba Fett, because in the prequel trilogy, in episodes 1 through 3, the prequel trilogy, he played Jango Fett, who is Boba Fett's father. So I like that they just, and because Boba was a clone of Jango, albeit, you know, smaller and younger, it would make sense for, you know, the grown-up Boba Fett to be, you know, to look like his father. Especially, I mean, you know, because they're clones, you know. So so that was really cool. So, but he does a great job throughout the show. And Min Na Win, I feel like I'm saying that right, as Fennec Shand, I thought she did a great job as Fennec. And she's a little bit more, I mean, she's not as, I guess her and Boba are kind of on the same level in terms of, like, kind of deadpan seriousness, you know, but she's a little bit, she's a little bit more serious and a little bit more of a cold-blooded killer than Boba is. And, you know, so, like, she's just a little bit, she's on a little bit higher of a level than Boba is. Like, he's on level 10, or, well, you know, like she's just a little bit above him in terms of being, like, a, you know, like a deadpan, serious, you know, kind of mean, kind, you know, kind of tough, but still kind of nice in a way, you know, mercenary and assassin, you know. But you know, I mean, her friendship with Boba does kind of turn her, I mean, you know, and again, she does develop too, like from the time they first meet, you know, to the, you know, throughout the show, we do see her kind of soften up and become a little bit nicer and, you know, more willing to be open, and trusting of people. And that's cool. And same with Boba. I mean, he becomes more open and trusting with people, which is cool to see. It's always cool to see characters, especially ones who, like, were perceived as villains, or who were, maybe were villains in a previous installment of a franchise, whether it was a movie, whether that be a movie or a TV show. It's always cool to kind of see them in a new light, maybe not even a new light, but it maybe just like, just to see them change. Like, to see them grow and evolve as a character. Because, you know, I mean, because in the original trilogy, Boba didn't have that much to do, and he didn't really get that much development. I mean, he was cool, he was badass, but, you know, we didn't really know him that well. And then the prequel trilogy kind of shed a little bit more light on him, but, you know, because we got to see him as a kid, and we got to see who his dad was, and we found out, oh, he's a clone, you know. There was more development done on his character in the prequel trilogy, and then you know, season two of The Mandalorian and the Book of Boba Fett, you know, delve even further into this character, and it's cool to see all the, you know, it's cool to see what they do with his character by kind of turning him in a way into an anti-hero, if you will, you know, like it's you know, kind of similar to like Deadpool, where, like, you know, he's not a good guy, but he's not a bad guy either. He's just kind of, he's kind of in the middle, you know, like, cause, you know, he kills people, yes, sometimes brutally, you know, but like he is an assassin. He is a bounty hunter. You know, you got to remember that, but he's also a human. He's also a human being. He has feelings. And I mean, you know, he watched his father die when he was like 12, for God's sakes, you know? So obviously, I mean, you know, obviously that would mess up anyone. I mean, anyone who cared about their father, that is, you know, so, you know, it's obviously he's going to be a little bit damaged, a little bit tortured by his past. You know, and that's going to lead to him kind of, you know, lashing out and kind of being cold and distant from people, you know, but yeah, so that was, you know, it's just cool to see that. Oh, and also, the acting from all the recurring characters is great too. We get to see there's this group of cyborgs that end up working for Boba Fett. Like a teenage like biker gang in a way. I feel like a lot of people didn't really like them, or like they felt like they were out of place. But I kind of liked them. I thought they were kind of a neat addition, and they were kind of something new. You know, like just the way they dressed and acted. It kind of was something different that we hadn't really seen a whole lot of, if at all, in the Star Wars universe. You know, but yeah, Drash and Scad, I think, were like the two main ones. They were kind of neat. They didn't get a whole lot of like development, but I mean, they were cool. They had some cool scenes, especially there were some action scenes where they were fighting that. I mean, mostly blasting their laser guns, but mostly blasting, laser guns. There's probably a term for the weapons they were using, and I just said laser guns. You know what I mean, though. But yeah, they're blasting their weapons. Not really like they didn't really have like too many like hand-to-hand combat fights. Although there was one fight that was one of my favorite fights and one of my favorite scenes in the show. There's this Wookiee played by Cary Jones called Chrysantin, who he is badass. Like this is his introduction into the Star Wars universe, or at least in the series in the realm of movies and TV shows. Like I'm assuming if there were comics based on the, I mean, I'm assuming he maybe has like debuted in like the comics or novels. But I mean, like in terms of like physical like media, like visual media, you know, like in the movies or shows, this is like his first time showing up. And I knew nothing about this character, but when he first shows up, I believe it's in episode 3, if I'm not mistaken. Let's see. Yes, it is episode 3. That is, it is episode 3. That's really cool. But he's just this like really big buff Wookiee. He's black and has, I mean, you know, he's got like black hair and a little bit of gray mixed in. He's got like he's got like these braids in his beard. He's got these like, these brass knuckles that like can electrify you, or I mean, electrocute you kind of. Like they have electricity flowing through them, and they have like these spikes on the end of them. So like you could like not only can you like punch someone really hard, but you could like stab them with them. And then he's got like this gun that I swear is like an arm cannon pretty much. And then he's got, you know, he's just decked out in all these weapons and shit. And he just looks like a feral, he's just a really feral, you know, badass Wookiee. And, you know, and, but he ends up, you know, he's a former gladiator. He's working for Jabba's, cousins, cause they end up coming by in like episode 3. Cause Boba, kills Bib Fortuna. Who was like one of Jabba's, higher up henchmen, you know, but, Boba Fett and Fennec end up infiltrating Jabba's palace and killing everyone in there and killing Bib Fortuna, who kind of took over after Jabba died. And then, you know, they kill him and Boba takes over with Fennec as his right-hand woman. And that was cool to see that scene where they, you know, fight their way into the temple, into Jabba's palace. That was cool. But in episode 3, Jabba's cousins, the twins, they end up, we end up seeing them, and they're pretty cool. I mean, they're only in that one episode, but they were kind of neat. I didn't even know Jabba had, cousins, so that was kind of a nice surprise. I knew there were more, people of his species. I knew there were more Hutts, but I didn't know I wasn't aware of those, of the twins, but they end up braining Chrysantin to, I mean, you know, they end up hiring him to kill Boba. And there's this really cool scene where they're fighting in the palace, and Fennec and, you know, at first Boba's alone, but then Fennec and the biker gang, show up and, you know, and have a really cool fight. And they end up dropping him into the, not the Sarlacc pit, the Rancor pit. And also we get another Rancor. They find one in the desert, I forgot who brought it to him. But anyway, they end up finding another. Oh yeah, Danny Trejo is a trainer. He's the trainer of the Rancor. And it was cool to see him. He's only in one episode, but he shows up with the Rancor and you know, he ends up helping Boba train the Rancor to, you know, become docile and friendly towards him, you know. And that was cool to see. But yeah, so they end up dropping Chrysantin in the Sarlacc. I mean, damn it, I did it again. They end up dropping him in the Rancor pit. But this is before he gets the Rancor, when they drop him in the pit. But it was, but that was a cool fight. I loved that scene. And then like an episode later, they end up, it's later in that episode. The twins say, hey Boba, you might want to leave. Or I'd leave if I were you, because the Pike Syndicate's coming and they're not going to like it that, you're in Jabba's, place, you know. They're not going to like, the fact that you're now, head of his, palace. And, you know, he, gives them Chrysantin back in chains, and he unchains him. He lets him go. The twins leave. Chrysantin's about to leave, but then Boba makes him an offer. He's like, hey, look, if you want to, you can work for me to kind of, you know, because we need some muscle right now. If you want to, we can work together to, you can help me and help us, with the, Pike situation, you know, to stop the Pike Syndicate from, you know, taking over Tatooine and, you know, controlling all controlling the spice run and all that. And Chrysantin agrees, you know, which is cool to see. It's kind of cool to see the two of them working together, especially considering that earlier in the episode he was going to kill him. But yeah, Chrysantin agrees, and you know, and Boba slowly but surely starts building up his army. And yeah, the first four episodes are really good. I mean, the last three are pretty good too. But episode five is entirely focused on Mando, or Din Djarin, the Mandalorian. And again, if you haven't seen The Mandalorian for whatever reason, Pedro Pascal plays him. And he once again delivers a great performance. And it was just cool to see The Mandalorian again, especially considering that we didn't get a third especially since we didn't get season three last year. You know, we're getting season three this year, but it was kind of nice to have an episode about Mando, like to see what he's been up to since he parted ways with Grogu and Boba and Luke and all them, since the events of the season two finale. Like it was kind of cool to see what he had been up to since then. And it was kind of nice because it's a nice little, it gives the fans something to watch. Like it's something to tide them over until season three premieres later this year. It was a welcome surprise, to say the least. And yeah, on the one hand, it was kind of weird that, not weird, but it was kind of strange in a way that the whole episode was Mando and then we didn't see Boba Fett until episode six. It was fine. It was kind of a nice break in the story. It was there, one, because everyone loves The Mandalorian, the character, not the show, but people do love the show too. But it was nice to have, you know, it was kind of a nice way to reintroduce The Mandalorian to everyone, or reintroduce him and reintegrate him into this show. To see what he was up to, because everyone loves him, and to, you know, just give fans, you know, something to hold them over until season three premieres later this year. So we just end up seeing what Mando's doing, you know, throughout episode five. And then at the end of episode five, when he goes to Tatooine and he ends up going to see the mechanic who was introduced in The Mandalorian, Peli, I believe is her name. And she ends up, what was her name? Who played her? I can't see. I mean, I, I Oh, Amy Sedaris. Amy Sedaris. Okay. Yeah, she ends up, she was a Pele Moto. Yeah, she's a mechanic in Mos Eisley. And it was cool to see her again. But yeah, he's getting a ship. She's working on a ship for him ever since he lost the Razor Crest in The Mandalorian. And the episode ends with Fennec showing up and basically recruiting him to join Boba's army. And she even gives him like some money. She's like, "Hey, this is from Boba." You know, he says, "You know, this is," you know, she's like, "Hey, take this is from Boba." And Mando just says, "Hey, tell him it's free." And I liked that little moment because it showed how like even though they weren't not like they were the best of friends or anything, but it goes to show how much respect that little moment goes to show how much respect Boba and Mando have for each other, and especially how much respect that Mando has for Boba and Fennec in a way that he was willing to do that for free. Like, he's like, "No, yeah, I mean, you guys helped me get Grogu back to Luke. I mean, you guys helped me on my quest to bring Grogu back to the Jedi. So, yeah, I mean, I'd be more than happy to do this for free." So that was cool. And then episode 6 again is also episode 6. I'd like to call the Book of Cameos because we get a lot of cameos in the 6th episode. Although we did get some in episode 5 too. Like I said, we got the return of Peli and the armorer who was, you know, she was the leader of the Mandalorian's former tribe. And then we got like one more. Was it pre Vizsla or post Vizsla? Well, yeah, we got like two Mandalorians show up in episode 5 and who were previously established in The Mandalorian. And then we got Pele Moto. But we get even more cameos in episode 6. From the Desert Comes a Stranger was the name of episode 6. We end up we get to see Grogu again. We get to see Luke training Grogu on this like random forest planet. I don't think they ever said the name in the episode, but that was cool to see like Luke training Grogu. And we get to see when Mando gets there, and we get to see a lot of characters. Yeah, we get to see Luke, Grogu, R2. We get to see him. Like, he's the first one we see when Mando arrives on the planet. And Ahsoka shows up again, which that was a welcome surprise too. Once again, Rosario Dawson killed it in the couple scenes that she had. You know, it was great, and it once again makes me look forward to and excited for Ahsoka's show, which is just called Ahsoka. But you know, I can't wait to see what they do with her character and what they do in her show. It's just, you know, because Ahsoka is one of my favorite characters ever since, you know, having watched The Clone Wars last year, ever since I finished that in, like, September. You know, she had become one of my favorites. And I just think Rosario Dawson does a great job at playing, like, an older, more mature, and more experienced Ahsoka. Because in The Clone Wars, you know, she was, like, a young adult, and then, you know, like, she was maybe, I'm not sure how old her species of people live, but, you know, she was, like, maybe, like, a 20, 25-year-old, I mean, like, she was kind of like a young adult, and then, you know, obviously, like, 30 years have gone by since the events of the end of the Clone Wars, you know, so she's this older, wiser, you know, more mature and more experienced and kind of more badass, you know, version of the character. So, I mean, it is cool to see that. And yeah, I can't wait for her show. But yeah, there were just, I love that. I love, just that time we spend on the planet, when Mando's going to visit Grogu, because we get so many cool little moments. We get to see, for example, R2 is like showing Mando around, and he takes him to this little hill, like this little tiny little clearing in this, you know, on this huge forest planet. And we see these androids that are shaped like ants, so naturally they're called ant droids. but they're like carrying a bunch of like cinder blocks to this clearing in the forest, and we pan over and we see the beginning of Luke's school. Because if you remember from the sequel trilogy, in The Last Jedi, we find out, or I guess we found out in The Force Awakens, but we get to see it in The Last Jedi when Luke tells Rey, oh yeah, I opened a school for Jedi because I wanted to train the next generation, you know, in the ways of the Force. And we get to see the school and, you know, and all that, which is really cool. But it was also really cool to see it being built, because it's like, oh yeah, you know, because that was in the, I mean, that was a nice foreshadowing of the Force, the, you know, The Last Jedi. Although it's funny because seeing that scene, and watching episode 6, it's seeing Luke train Grogu and seeing the temple, Luke's, Jedi school being built, made me think, I'm like, okay, Grogu better not die in that massacre, because if you remember from The Last Jedi, like if any of you who've watched the sequel trilogy, if you remember from The Last Jedi, you know, Luke sensed evil in Kylo Ren, or Ben, you know, Han and Leia's kid, and he was gonna kill him in his sleep, which is kind of dark for Luke, but I mean, regardless, you know, he was gonna kill him, because he sensed evil in him in his sleep, and but then he decided not to go through with it. But unfortunately, Kylo Ren woke up, and you know, brought the whole school, and attacked Luke, killed most of the students at the temple, and the ones he didn't kill left with him, and then he burned the temple down. You know, and then we see Luke groveling on his knees, holding one hand on R2-D2. You know, just like looking like, my God, what have I done? You know, what's happened, you know? And, having seen that scene in The Last Jedi and then seeing that Luke train Grogu and seeing the school being built in this show, it makes me think, I'm like, okay, I hope Grogu doesn't die in that massacre, because I do like what they've done by setting up, you know, like this, you know, it's kind of cool that we got another version of, I mean, he's not Yoda, he's his own character, but it's cool that we got another version of his species, because Yoda was the only one of his species that we saw in the prequel and original trilogy. So it's like, oh, okay, so there are more of his people. Like, you know, we don't know really where they are, or I think what the name of their species is, but you know, it's cool to see. But so, and it's funny because I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, so either Luke ends up training Grogu later, or he ends up, just leaving and staying with Mando. Because, I mean, either way, Grogu will still have, like, the Force. Like, he'll still be able to use the Force. Maybe not as much as if he trains and stays with Luke the whole time. But, you know, it's, I don't know, you know. But I'll get back to that in a minute. So, yeah, and then we get another scene. Mando had melted down this spear that he got in season 2, made of was it Beskar? I think it was Beskar. This like Beskar steel. He ends up melting it down with the armorers, the help of the armorer, and turns it into like this little suit of armor for Grogu to wear, kind of like a little metal chain link shirt almost is what it looks like. And Luke and Mando leaves, because he doesn't, you know, he's like, well, I don't want to interrupt the training and all that, and it might not be the best if he saw me, you know, he's probably really busy. So he gives the gift to Ahsoka, and Ahsoka gives it to Luke, and I really love this scene, because I'm like, oh shit, we're getting to see Ahsoka and Luke interact for the first time. Like, that's just so bizarre, it's so surreal to see these two characters interact, because like, especially in live action, because up until The Mandalorian, Ahsoka had only been in The Clone Wars. Like, we had only seen the animated version of her. And again, I mean, The Clone Wars and Rebels and The Bad Batch, they're all canon with, you know, in the Star Wars universe. But it's just, you know, because we had never seen a live-action Ahsoka, you know, it was cool to see her when she showed up. And it was really cool to see her interact with Luke, because the two of them have never really had any interactions at all, you know. So that was a nice surprise. And it was also cool, the little conversation, she ended up mentioning Anakin. And I was like, oh, that's sweet. You know, and that was kind of a nice little, like that, because they both shared, like, not that Anakin was Ahsoka's father, but in a way, they were really close and they were friends. And Anakin was, you know, her mentor. So in a way, they kind of both lost a father and or father figure when Anakin went to the dark side, you know. So that was a nice kind of bonding moment between the two of them. And not only was it a nice little, like, oh my God, these two interacting for the first time. Like, not only was it a cool scene, but it was also just cool to see. It was a cool bonding moment between these two characters. And also the CGI on Luke's face, like, it looks even better than it did in the season 2 finale of The Mandalorian. Like, it looks even, like, they made it look, you know, even better than it did there. And Mark Hamill, once again, does a great job, not only with the voice, but also I think he did the body work too for Luke. It's not just, they didn't just put his face on someone else. I mean, that's actually, I think, him, but yeah, the CGI is great with him, and, you know, he looks just like how he did in Return of the Jedi, and it's cool to see. And Mark Hamill, and I think they de-aged his voice somehow, but, I mean, you could still tell it's him. It just sounds like a younger him, but it's still Mark Hamill voicing Luke, you know, and acting him out, so. But yeah, but on top of seeing Ahsoka, Luke, and Grogu in Episode 6, we also get to see Cobb Vanth, who, again, was introduced in Season 2 of The Mandalorian. He's the marshal of the Tatooine town, Mos Pelgo. Although they, and we find out they ended up changing their name to Freetown because Mando helped them attack, Mando helped free their town from the, that sandworm, or was it a sandworm? Well, that giant creature that, you know, kept rolling through the streets and, you know, destroying everything and attacking everyone. So it was cool to see him again. Timothy Oliphant, I believe I'm pronouncing his name right. He did great there too. I mean, he did great again playing this character. It was cool to see him and Mando interact again. And then, like, if that wasn't enough, cameos. We get to see Cad Bane, of all people, who, you know, was again, first introduced in the Clone Wars. And when he first showed up, I'm like, because I saw him walking from the horizon, and I saw the brim on his hat, and I'm like, is that who I think it is? And then I'm like, oh shit, it is Cad Bane. And he was one of my favorite characters in the Clone Wars. And he is still voiced by Corey Burton, the guy who played him and who voiced him in the Clone Wars. I don't know if he's, like, doing the motion capture. Actually, I'm not quite sure if it's, like, CGI and motion capture, or if it's a suit that they put over him. And I'm also not quite sure if he's playing him. It just says he's the voice of Cad Bane, so I'm assuming they had someone else either, you know, motion capturing or, you know, they CGI'd someone and motion captured someone, or they put them in a suit. I don't know, because it looked so real, like his eyes and the way his mouth moved, like the lips, you know, moved with matched what he was saying. So I'm assuming that they ended up, that was actually a suit, you know. And but I don't know, but either way, it looked really good. And yeah, he still, you know, had that same cadence in his voice. I mean, he still had that same, you know, tone that he kind of, and you know, and visceral, you know, kind of badassery, that visceral but subtle badassery that that Bane had in the Clone Wars, despite him being, what, probably 100 years old. Like, because you know, again, 30 years had passed since the events of the Clone Wars, and he was already, like, you know, up in there in age. I mean, well, he was, like, maybe in his 40s. Again, I'm not entirely sure what his age was. But, you know, so like, and they even say, like, you know, you're an old man. Like, so he's clearly been around for a while, like, you know. And a lot of people were saying that, like, his face was too, like, it wasn't elongated enough, because, like, his face was a little bit longer looking in the Clone Wars. and like he wasn't as blue as he was in the Clone Wars. Like, but it but you know, I liked the way the design looked. It looked a little bit more realistic, but it still looked like Cad Bane. And also the fact that he wasn't as dark blue as he was in the Clone Wars didn't really bother me, because you know, like, you know, I mean, he's older, so obviously his skin is going to look older, and you know, going to look like probably lighter. You know what I mean? So that's not really, so it didn't really bother me. I mean, he still looked like Cad Bane, so he just looked a little different, you know, to match the live action, how he would look in live action. I thought he looked really good. But there, and that scene with him and, cause Mando ends up recruiting Cobb Vanth. He's like, hey, if you could try to, I mean, if you want to, or no. He ends up telling Cobb, and he's like, hey, let's get the whole town. He's like, no, I'm not going to drag all of you into this. And he's like, no, I'm going to try to get the whole town. And he's like, okay, well, if you can, get as many reinforcements as you can, we're going to attack the Pike Syndicate, you know, coming up, you know, pretty soon. And, but anyway, Cad Bane and Cobb Vanth have this standoff, and it looks like Bane ends up killing Cobb, and I was like, ah, damn it, don't kill him. But we find out, and I'll get to it in a minute, but that was a really tense scene, and, it was a really cool, and that scene was a really cool way of bringing back Bane. And, but yeah, so it turned, and we find out also that Bane had been, employed, the Pike Syndicate hired him to, you know, kind of be their muscle and be their backup. Oh, okay. I just now noticed, okay, I just now saw this. So, physically, Bane is portrayed by Dorian Kinji. Again, I'm sorry if I'm butchering that name. But yeah, okay, so Corey Burton, same guy who voiced him in the Clone Wars, is voicing him here. He's being portrayed physically by Dorian Kinji. Okay. Good. Let's see. Okay. Okay, also, wait. Graham Hamilton was the on-set performer for Luke. Okay, so it was still Luke's... It was still Mark Hamill's face and voice, but it was someone else as the performer for the character, like on, okay. But it was still him playing Luke, okay. So I just wanted to clarify that now that I saw that. But, yeah, so anyway, okay, so the finale, get into the finale. The finale was great. I thought it was going to be rushed because of, like, you know, the fact that we hadn't seen Boba Fett really in episode 5 and most of episode 6. I'm like, well, I was like, do they have too much to wrap up with everything, you know, or do they have too much going on? But, I mean, the episode was an hour long. I think it was the longest of the 7 episodes. And I feel like they did a pretty good job with it. Everything pretty much got wrapped up, and the stuff that didn't get wrapped up was intentionally left open or unresolved for, you know, either a second season of The Book of Boba Fett or the next season of The Mandalorian or... us, you know, whenever Ahsoka premieres, you know, for Ahsoka, or, you know, any of the other shows that they have coming up, you know, but yeah, so pretty much, so the Pike Syndicate ends up, they end up going to Boba, Fennec, Mando, the biker gang, Chrysanthemum, oh, and the two Gamorrean, the Gamorrean guards, that were left over from, Jabba's, palace, and a few, and oh, and then eventually the people from Freetown, they all go to battle, they all go to war with the Pike Syndicate, and it's a really cool fight because, you know, like, we get this, you know, this really epic shootout between, you know, all of them. We get to see Boba and Mando fly around on their jetpacks while they're shooting at the members of the Syndicate, and then eventually they like start to run low on soldiers. So they send out these droids, like Scorpion droids, I think is what they called them, Scorpio droids, that have these force fields, and which are very reminiscent of like the technology that was in the prequel trilogy, where like we had like these little spider, like insect looking droids that had force fields, except these are like way bigger, and there's like two of them, and they're just rampaging through town. I mean, slowly but surely, like just walking through the streets of the town, just blasting and blowing up shit. And that was really cool. And then Boba brings in the Rancor, and then they use the Rancor to defeat the droids, the Scorpio droids. Grogu ends up, because he's Luke gave him pretty much a choice. He's like, hey, you can either be a Jedi and have my master, my former master Yoda's lightsaber, or you can be with Mando and have his little suit of armor that he gave you. And Grogu ends up basically just leaving Luke and Ahsoka on that planet, and having R2, of course, because, you know, Grogu's a baby, he can't do everything. He has R2 pilot, I guess it's Luke's ship, but he has him pilot the ship to Tatooine, and, you know, in the middle of this battle, he reunites with Grogu, which is not really the best time for him to be, you know, and he acknowledges this. Mando's like, hey, what are you doing here? Now it's not a good time. But yeah, it was a really cool action scenes, really good climactic, you know, I mean, really cool battles, or, you know, just overall, just nonstop action all the way through the episode. There was this one scene too, where Chrysantin picks up, this was a really cool moment. He picks up this Pike Syndicate member, throws him like he's a clay pigeon, and then just shoots him midair. And I was like, oh shit, that was cool. And then there's, what else happened? Yeah, the Rancor. Oh, I liked the fight between Boba and Bane. I thought that was really cool. I kind of wish that Bane didn't die, because I'm like, hey, they finally have him in live action. And like I said, he was also one of my favorite characters in the Clone Wars. I'm like, oh, he's a cool new addition to this vast universe of characters, you know. But that being said, I mean, and we did see him die, so it's not like they can just brain him back. I mean, you know, like, we did see him physically die. It's not like he died off screen, and it's like, well, he could have maybe not died, you know, because the rule of thumb in any TV show or movie is, if you don't see the body, chances are the character's not dead. So, the whole conversation that Boba and Bane had about, you know, Boba being a cold-blooded killer, and all that, and, you know, that was cool. And, and even though Bane's dead, I mean, we're getting the Andor show, which is, you know, set during the events of Rogue One, or a little bit before Rogue One, and then we're getting Obi-Wan Kenobi, which is set 10 years after Revenge of the Sith. So it's not like we'll never see Bane again, because we'll have shows that are set before, you know, his death, you know, which was in this show. So, you know, it's not like we'll never see the character again, but it's just, I was like, oh man, I kind of wish he survived that, because it would have been cool to see him, like, in The Mandalorian, you know, like, interacting with The Mandalorian, get into a scuffle with him and all that. And, you know, just seeing what he'd do going forward. But it was cool. And if anyone was going to kill Bane, it was going to be Boba, because they're both, like, very experienced bounty hunters, you know, with, you know, kind of a different moral, I mean, you know, with kind of similar morals, but, like, obviously Boba's a little bit more moral than Bane, and, you know, it was a fitting end to Bane if he had to die, you know, but anyway, so yeah, Mando, so after all is said and done, they, Finnick ends up killing, like, there's these, like, crime families that promised Boba that they'd remain neutral if the Pike Syndicate came and asked to turn against him. And of course they just lied to Boba and said, yeah, we'll do that. And then they end up turning against him. But they, Finnick ends up just sneaking into the, like, this little bunker they're in and killing all of them. The mayor of, the mayor of Mos Espa. And, Mos Eisley. Yeah, my bad. The mayor of Mos Eisley. And the leader of the Pike Syndicate and all in one fell swoop. And I'm like, oh, that was a badass moment. But yeah, so with the Pike Syndicate all dead, and, you know, the Rancor put to sleep because it ends up going on a rampage. Everything's resolved pretty much. Boba, Finnick, Chrysantin, and the Biker Gang end up kind of, you know, looking over, you know, like, residing in Jabba's palace and, you know, protecting the people of Tatooine. Mando ends up leaving with Grogu to, you know, go on more adventures. and what else happens? Bane's dead. Oh, and then we get, and that's pretty much it. Yeah, I mean, everything's kind of resolved and or if it's not resolved, again, kind of set up for future seasons of The Mandalorian and Boba Fett and Ahsoka and all that. But we do get a post-credit scene where we see Cobb Vanth in the Bacta tank, in Boba's Bacta tank, in his palace, or in Jabba's former palace. So that's cool, because when I saw that, I'm like, oh shit, good, because I was like, oh man, I hope they don't kill Cobb. So I'm glad they're bringing him back. Hopefully he'll be up and running in the next season of The Mandalorian. So I guess that's it. I'm trying to think of what else happened. But yeah, so yeah, I guess that's it. Overall, yeah, the show was really good. I thought it was really good. I'm looking forward to see what they do next with Boba Fett and Fennec. What happens with Grogu? Does he end up getting a little bit more training from Luke and then leaving, or does he just stay with the Mandalorian? I guess there's a lot you could do with that storyline. But although, considering again the fact that there was no mention of Grogu in the sequel trilogy, you could make the argument, it's like, oh well, they didn't know they were going to make Grogu when they made they didn't know they were going to come up with the character of Grogu when they were making the sequel trilogy. But you know, I mean, which is fine. I mean, you know, just because they didn't mention him in the sequel trilogy doesn't mean that he dies a horrible death. Like, he could still get some training from Luke and just happen to leave before Kylo goes on his murder spree, you know. But who knows? But I'm really curious to see how that all plays out, like what they're going to do with that. And I'm really looking forward to season 3 of The Mandalorian and season 2 of The Book of Boba Fett if they make a season 2. If not, this was a good limited, just one and done season. And just because it's one season of this doesn't mean we won't see Boba and Fennec in The Mandalorian or Ahsoka or any of those shows. We'll still see them, and I'm really looking forward to it. But yeah, and I'm really looking forward to Obi-Wan Kenobi, which premieres May 25th. Kind of a missed opportunity. It's not premiering on May 4th, considering that's Star Wars Day. But the Moon Knight series finale is airing that day. And I guess Disney Plus didn't want there to be too big, you know, like they didn't want the season finale of one show and the series premiere of another show both airing on the same day. I guess they just kind of wanted them to be, a little bit apart to kind of generate more interest in both of them, you know, instead of them both being on the same day or released on the same day. So, but yeah, and what's cool too, though, in a way, it's kind of nice that it's on the 25th of May, because that'll be the 45th anniversary of the first Star Wars movie, A New Hope. So that's kind of nice. I mean, if it couldn't have been on Star Wars Day, that was the second best option. I mean, that was the second best alternative. So, but yeah, so great show, loved it. Looking forward to. Well, you know, looking forward to The Mandalorian and Ahsoka, Obi-Wan and all them. Yeah, if you guys watch it, I hope you like it. I definitely recommend it, especially if you liked The Mandalorian or like any of the Star Wars movies or the Clone Wars or Rebels. I feel like you'll like this. And especially if you like the character of Boba Fett, you'll like this show. I guess that does it. I hope you guys have a great weekend, and I will see you either Monday or Tuesday for episode 3. I will be talking about I will be ranking my top 10 favorite Super Bowl commercials of this year's Super Bowl. And I will probably also make another top 10. I mean, it'll be in the same episode, but I'll probably also do another top 10 where I rank the top 10 best TV show and movie commercials, because I don't want to put too many in with the regular commercials, because it would just seem a little unfair, you know? To have, you know, half of the commercials be of TV shows or movies, you know. So, but look forward to that either Monday or Tuesday. It's probably going to be on Monday. I'll probably have decided what the top 10 will be by the next day after the Super Bowl. So, but yeah, look forward to that. Or I look forward to that. Hope you guys look forward to it. And I hope you have a great weekend. And I will see you then. Take care.